Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. My name is Beth Noble, and I'm a teacher here at LSAT Demon, which you can find at lsatdemon.com. Today, I am joined by Carol. Carol and I met probably maybe a year ago now, something around a year, year and a half ago. And we met just, we were involved in a community volunteer organization together, and we found out by happenstance that we were both studying for the LSAT, obviously had some similar interests as well, since we were involved in the same organization. And Carol is here today to tell us about her experience and her career so far, and what is leading her to pursue a legal career. And as she's been studying for the LSAT, a little bit of what that's been like. And honestly, anything else that comes up, but that is sort of where we are going today. So Carol, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what your career has been like up until this point?
Yeah. And thanks so much, Beth, for inviting me to come on. I am a professionally trained spiritual care provider. I like that term instead of just saying a chaplain. I've worked in healthcare for many years, and always wanted and was interested in law for a long time, but I think I chose the path of least resistance. Not that I don't feel called or that my career as a chaplain has been great, it's been grand. But as I am starting to lean towards some time where I might not be so much working, I don't want to say retired, but so much working as a chaplain, you know, it started to occur to me, especially after watching what has happened over the last few years in this country, I thought that maybe I could do something that my soul really has been calling me to as it relates to law, because so many of my folks in my community or people that I know are some kind of way involved in some legal matter, or law happens to dictate and guide our lives, but are not knowing how that law works, how the law can work for us, and how the law can be more supportive. And especially as a chaplain, I can pray with people, I can hold their hands, but there are times when there are legal issues that come up, and I just want to be able to do more of that, be aware of it at least, and be a more prominent guide, you know, along this course of things that can trap us legally.
Yeah.
Without having to charge people arm and a leg, because I'm not trying to do it to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's great. And that was part of what we met and sort of bonded over at first too, is that my background is in healthcare and disability services as well. And I know we've talked about that a ton, and just the legal issues that we've seen people encounter, especially in the healthcare sphere and healthcare world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially as it relates to employment. And what I didn't say and I didn't share at the outset, but it's important to kind of throw it in now as a caveat, I am legally blind. And so that was one of the reasons when I found out about the eye condition, that was one of the reasons why I just turned away from law school, because I was thinking, oh, it's going to be too hard. How am I going to get the resources? How am I going to get the help to, you know, navigate through the system? And so that kind of deterred me. But hindsight, it was like I could have gotten all of the same resources that I got going to graduate school and going through seminary, but I just didn't have the confidence.
Yeah, definitely. So what has that looked like now as you started to study for the LSAT? When did you start to study for the LSAT? What did that look like for you of starting to gain that confidence of, okay, I'm going to take the steps to start to pursue this?
You know, I had a really not so great situation that occurred in my workplace where I felt really discriminated against. I think not felt, but I experienced a lot of discrimination, racial discrimination, ability discrimination, but I didn't have the money to go and hire a high powered attorney, you know, an employment attorney, labor law attorney. And I started, that's what really kickstarted me. It was like, you know what, doggone it. Maybe I could say the word like Nathan and Ben would say. I said, damn it, I am tired of being, you know, stepped on. It's time for me to go and learn more about this so that I can better advocate for myself. And in so doing, I'm thinking, well, geez, I can help advocate for others. And so I did. I started, you know, I looked into it. I happened to meet this lady in the fingernail shop, in the nail shop. And we were there getting a pedicure. And I was talking to her. She was a lawyer. She's a district superintendent. Not superintendent, but a district attorney. And went to the county. I live here in the Bay Area. And she was like, you know what? You can do it. I'm studying to go back to school to be a social worker. And I was like, you're kidding me. So she really encouraged me. She gave me the information. She said, whatever I can do to get you kickstarted, just go. And that's what I did. I started. But when I first got into the testing part of it and looking at the test, it was a whole nother language. And I so tanked on the diagnostic. I was like, scrimony.
I've been there too.
Right? Because it's a whole nother language. And so,
exactly.
Yeah. And so I started, I did a little research and I signed myself up with this other company, got a lot of books, paid for a private tutor. All of that was helpful, but I still was not quite grabbing the concepts. So I was just taking my time, And I mean, you know, to lead into how I got to the demon is that, you know, podcast, Google research, looking at the reviews. And I liked the name. I was interested as a pastor. I was interested. What the heck is this demon thing all about? And, you know, I looked it up, you know, because I mean, looking at the image, it was like, interesting. So, and then when I looked at one, I listened to one of the podcasts and two guys, you know, Nathan and Ben, they're like, fuck this shit. I was like, this is for me, right on. I'm going with it because I'm like, fuck this shit. I want to do something else in my life. So it just resonated with me instead of listening to people who were talking all of this, blah, 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 and it's this and it's that. I was like, I want to go somewhere where I can hear words, not, you know, explicit tips, but I can, the language was simple, it was clear, and it was affirming.
Yeah, the directness. I found the podcast first too when I started, or even before I started studying with the demon, but the podcast was like, oh wow, they're speaking in a language I understand.
Yeah.
They're not trying to make everything a concept, everything more complicated. And that directness really drew me to it as well, to study for the LSAT at the demon, because it was like, okay, this can make sense to me, not just looking for LSAT jargon. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That jargon. Uh-huh. And it could be a heady jargon, right? Which can be more intimidating and it can make the task very daunting. You know, and then I signed up for the live and, you know, looking at the classes and studying. So it's just, it's been a journey. It's been an LSAT journey over this year and a half. I'm preparing for the June test. And I kept putting it off because I listened, and I didn't feel ready in my soul.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel more ready than I've ever felt since I started studying.
And have you seen your section scores go up too over that time? Is that what's getting you more ready too?
Yes, absolutely. You know, to be honest with you, I still have a thing. Logical reasoning and I have not quite made good friends with each other. It keeps teasing me. And I'm saying, stop it. Just let me be.
But, yeah.
So that's one of the places where I still have bumps in the road. There are times when I do really well. And then there's other times where I'm like, what is it? So I'm practicing now to slow myself down. I'm taking a tip from one of the podcasts that I listened when the guys were talking about it. Use one question as a mini test. Don't think too far down the road about question 13. Or when I start to get shaky around question 17, don't think about it. Just work on question one, because all of them are weighted the same. Either it's correct or it's not.
Yeah, definitely. And question one, best way to move on to question two is just forget about everything you just read in question one, right?
Yeah.
And the good news is if you do just nail it, you don't ever have to think about that one again.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what I'm practicing.
Yeah. So you just mentioned a section that maybe is still sort of your hurdle right now that you're still working through. What is your strongest section on the LSAT right now?
The one that I did not think would be my strongest section because it was the worst, which I hear other people say, was the games. It is the games. I so tanked. I did better in my diagnostic on logical reasoning.
Yeah.
But the games were like, what the shenanigan is this? And I am now like, I can do a game like in my sleep. Yeah, the games, absolutely. And I've gotten better. And I have to tell you this, what really impressed me about the demon was there was a podcast when Nathan made a comment about legally blind folks getting accommodations and needing extra time for the games. And he was like, oh, you know, I don't know if he said BS. I don't want to quote him. But he just said, nah, they really, you know, you can kind of think about it or memorize it or something or use it. It's not that hard. And I took issue with that. And after I heard it, I sent an email or I called the help desk or, you know, the help number. I said, I want to talk to this guy. I'm really upset about this. And, you know, later that afternoon, I got a call from Nathan Fox. It showed up on my phone. First of all, let me say this, and I want to be very, very transparent. Yeah. I was fucking moved that this white dude who owns this company, he would call me. They have a lot of students. They have a lot of people that they're attending to. But he called me, and he listened. We played phone tag a couple of times, but when we got with each other that same day, he listened, and he said, tell me, you know, what rubbed you wrong? And I'm, you know, kind of paraphrasing, but what's the issue? Let's talk about it. So it was so cool to be able to talk about, this is what rubbed me. This is where I felt an ouch. And then he explained, well, this is where I was coming from. And this is what I was thinking. And I didn't mean by any way to diminish or negate whatever it is that you need or, you know, whatever your ability or not. And that was really cool. And, you know, basically he apologized, but he didn't like take a back seat and say, oh, my stance was wrong. We were able to talk about it. And I could see where he was coming from. And I think he could see where I was coming from. And it was a very nice conversation. And so from that standpoint, I actually started practicing some of the tips that he shared without even thinking about it. Using my photogenic memory, thinking about like the first game. Usually the first game is more simplistic, I want to say, or straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Straightforward. It doesn't have a lot of variables. So I can kind of, once I get the concept, and I get the rules or the conditions, I can kind of think about it and see it and strategize going to the if questions first and coming back. I don't have to do a lot of diagramming. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it. You know, so it really helped me move differently through the games and thinking about them a little bit clearer. Just so that I took a barrier away. That's what I did. Yeah. I took a barrier away through that discussion.
Definitely. So, yeah. And do you feel like that is, you know, at least one of the pillar moments of when you really started to improve on your games?
Yes. And the other thing that's helped me with reading comp that I got from the demon is the fact that all of the questions must be true.
Mm-hmm.
The information is pertained in the passage. So it's not a trick question. It's nothing that I have to guess about or try and come up with, but I can go back and find it. Did I read that? Was that there? So that has been very helpful in reading comp.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes people struggle with reading comprehension because it's just, you know, it's longer or feels more boring. But when you realize the answers are right there, you stop getting so distracted by the other answer choices, right? It's like, oh, I know nothing about, and you know, answer choice C. They just didn't talk about that. That's really outlandish. So I think that's great. I think that's one of the key things about reading comprehension as well that can really help folks improve.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. I do think that is really valuable, especially like the listening and talking about it, especially if, you know, it's possible Nathan doesn't have, you know, personal experience like I don't either with studying for the LSAT while being legally blind. So that also might have just been a new perspective and new experience. Yeah. So I do appreciate hearing too about how that expanded maybe for both of you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. It has definitely been a piece. It is not an easy journey, but I feel very accomplished at least getting over one of my fears that I wasn't smart enough to even consider myself worthy to study for the LSAT. And I know that's a lot, but, you know, coming from where I came from, there wasn't a lot of encouragement, you know, around in my community. And that's not the same for everybody, but I'm just talking about my story. It's been huge and it's been a game changer for me.
Right. And I'm sure as you have gone through this LSAT journey, you know, a year and a half, and as you prepare, that's probably a roadblock to your own success, feeling that way or thinking those things about yourself too, right?
Right. I'm definitely thinking more positive, and I sense it in my soul, in my gut space, that I can absolutely do law school. I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult, but what I'm learning, and in addition to, you know, studying for the LSAT, you know, I was accepted into this fellowship. And so that's been helpful. I mean, not that I'm a stellar student in the fellowship, because I'm working and I'm doing a whole lot of other things. So, but in addition to that learning, the LSAT learning, this whole other world has opened for me. Like, I mean, when I'm reading some of those, the logical reading section, when it's talking about astrology or it's talking about Plato or Aristotle, you know, when I'm looking at some of the reading comp passages, just those three little passages has helped me to think about what else I might want to read more.
Yeah.
What else I might want to study more about, economics.
Yeah.
It's struck a match within me to say, wow, this is really interesting. It's not boring. It's not, and it makes it easier. Like they say on reading comp, it makes it easier for me when I'm interested. And I think the passages are very interesting.
Yeah. And they really are short comparatively, right? Imagine reading a whole book about astronomy instead. That might be a lot more dense and way over my head as not a scientist. But this is something that is very bite-sized. We can understand. And I love that you're thinking that too. Like, this is interesting. Is this something that I want to just pursue on my own too? Did I just find a new interest because of the LSAT as well? Because there's so much content that is covered in the LSAT.
Right.
I've felt that way before too. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. So what are you doing now? So you talked about hoping to take the June LSAT. What are you planning for right now? Are you hoping to be applying next semester? What other things are you doing as you prepare, or not next semester, next fall?
For next fall. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking at taking like June, August, September, or October if I have to, but getting my applications ready so that I can, you know, get everything in so that I can be considered for what opens up next fall, 2024. Yeah.
Great. So, yeah. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome that you're planning to take potentially multiple LSATs as well. Just because, as you've probably heard plenty of us talk about, again and again and again. It's like, you've got a score range, you've got an average, you might as well give yourself more than one shot so you can hit the high end of your range as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about what led you into being interested in law. I am curious, have you thought about, are you just thinking vaguely you might be interested in like health law or maybe disability law or employment you mentioned as well?
There are two pieces. You know, I'll see where it settles, but the two pieces are, well, I don't know if I'm going to say three pieces, but the pressing piece is disability and employment. Mm-hmm. There's so much employment and labor. It is mm-hmm. it impacts folks who are differently able very differently. And yeah. when I came into the awareness recently that people who are blind, low vision, visually impaired, some sight, no sight, there's a higher rate of unemployment amongst that population, this population, my tribe, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. And so that began again to kind of stir some things in me. Based on what I've experienced, I'm thinking, how can I help advocate? How can I maybe write some new policies, help develop some new practices within systems so that more folk who are legally blind or with some sight, no sight, can be employed to remove mm-hmm. those some barriers, to lower the barriers. So that's really like at the forefront.
Yeah.
That's at the yeah. forefront. Because yeah. like Gwen Ifill says, Gwen Ifill, the famous, she was KQED, she was on public PBS, the News Hour with Gwen Ifill. Yeah. And she said in her book, if once I leave this desk and there's none like me coming behind, then what will that say? I want for there to be at least another person with a visual impairment, hopefully being hired by my organization in my area.
Yeah.
That says a lot. If I'm the only one, or maybe there's two, maybe there's three, I don't think there's five of us, and we're all accomplished, we need to write some better policy. We need to develop some better practices, some hiring practices, some in-servicing, some competency practices. Something somewhere needs to shift.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
if somebody
accessibility.
Is being mistreated or being discriminated, well, then maybe I can help them there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am on the edge of my seat to see where you will end up going to school.
And finally, Beth, I have to put this my other two cents in, is that I've been deeply moved by Brian Stevens' initiative, the Equal Justice Initiative. I've been deeply, deeply moved. Like I say, starting off as a pastor, where do we most end up? Somebody will call and say, my son or my daughter is in jail. Can you pray mm-hmm. for them? Can you write a letter for them? Can you go and sit with them? See, and that's another tug in my soul. How mm-hmm. can I help some of my folks who are, 90% incarcerated, who can't afford legal representation? How can I help somebody without charging them? Because it's not about the money for me. It's about the ministry and the advocacy.
Yeah.
To be a being in service, because I've been fortunate enough to get to this point where I'm not worrying about, you know, the things that others have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, like careers and finances and things of that nature. You know what I mean? Stop ringing phone. Wouldn't a phone ring just as I'm saying what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. That the book, Just Mercy, have you read that one?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that was, I read that when I was in undergrad or maybe even slightly before. And that was one of the things that started to get the gears turning for if I would be interested in law. And I kind of laid it to rest for some years after undergrad, but I still think of it, still remember it. And that is what sort of led me to want to pursue, hopefully, public defense one day, public interest of some sort. But I'm very interested in that as well. So those of you listening, if you haven't read it or looked into the Equal Justice Initiative, I think it is really important work going on in the Great American South. But book recommendation is Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson.
Right. And Michelle Obama says, and Michelle Obama, who's another one of my favorites, she said in her book, litigation, as she discovered, wasn't as interesting and it was boring and it didn't give her life. And it was like, well, Michelle Obama said that. Well, I'm steering way away from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's just one of those things that your access to good legal counsel, good legal, you know, good lawyering increases is highly correlated with how much money you have. So I do think it's very important that there are people out there who are looking to do the work, not just for the money. Maybe it won't be that way forever, but right now that's sort of how a lot of things in our country work. So Absolutely. I'm definitely glad to hear that I've got a kindred spirit in that for sure. And I'm so grateful for you sharing about your interests and just being willing to share even just hard experiences as well that has led you to this point. Before we close out, is there anything else that you would like to add or specifically tell anybody listening before we sign off today?
Well, what I'd like to say to what I'd like for folks to hear is, first of all, don't give up. Don't ever think that your dream is impossible. Dream big and reach for the stars, no matter what your ability, your physical difference, it's possible. It's possible. Mm-hmm. And especially for those who may be out there listening, who happen to bump up on this, if it gets played in the African-American community, those of African heritage from the diaspora, please, please, please think about law. Think about pursuing an avenue where we can be more represented, because I've been in courtrooms, Beth, on more occasions than I want to remember. And sitting on the outside of that bar, there's a lot of Black and brown folks. But when we cross over to the bar to actually be a witness or whatever, that arena doesn't look like us. And we need to be more represented. And the law represents us. It will fight for us if we know how to use it. Yeah. And we have to get into the arena so that we can know how to use it. Yeah. So please, y'all, don't give up. Just keep pushing. Just keep on pushing.
Thank you so much for sharing and just for your encouragement to listeners who also don't look like me. I really appreciate you coming on sharing your story. Like I already said, even just a brief part of it, I am very grateful. And like I said, too, I am eager to see where your legal career takes you, and maybe even eager to do a follow up after you have taken your LSAT, crushed it, and you've got it in the rearview mirror. And then, you know, maybe a follow up to that as well, when you've got a bunch of school acceptances and scholarships, and you're trying to make a decision with some champagne problems, right? Which one do I choose?
And one day, Beth, down the road somewhere, if the creek don't rise, you and I may rock that courthouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Hey, you know where I'm thinking of heading. So I'll get in your ear next year when it's time for you to apply to try to get you that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Beth. Thank you. It's good to know. Nathan, thanks so much, Nathan, for kicking me across that bridge, even though it was the ouch. I sure appreciate it. Ben, I like you too. I like the way you present your classes.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Over there. All the shout outs. I love it. Thanks for remembering that too. Yeah. Thank you. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Carol, for joining today. That's all we have for you today. You can email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask any questions or maybe any follow-up questions or have any comments about today's episode or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.